my brain is kind of...
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we take a look at movies coming out in 2017 that are kind of geeky or kind of controversial. We go through May, so listen up.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Boo.
Boo indeed, because yes. We're recording in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
That's right. There were cows outside my window last night. I'm not even making
that up. That's super funny to me. that's just double funny.
Hotel cows.
They're fancy cows. They stay in a Holiday Inn Express.
They might be ghosts. We've discussed the possibility. They're ghost cows.
And we're here to perform for a fundraiser show for Vilification Tennis. Is performing in for
the Siouxland Renaissance Association, which is the nonprofit organization that puts on the Siouxland Renaissance Festival.
I didn't know that festival was put on by a nonprofit. That's pretty crazy.
It is, yeah. So
it's so the opposite of what I'm used to.
Yes.
it's funny because everything I've heard from people who are peasants at the Minnesota Festival who work at Siouxland say that they're compensated much better at Siouxland. So they're a nonprofit.
Because they have to get the money away.
Well. The Dregs have been performing at the Siouxland Renaissance Festival for over a decade, and it is our best paid gig.
And that's great. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why we're here. We're in Tim's hotel room recording yet again, and we're going to talk about first quarter of 2017 movies that were kind of.
Not counting January and February because we're all those.
Those are spent.
We could hit on one or two that we've seen.
Yeah, we all seen John Wick 2, and now we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in the next few weeks. Tim, the first one we're going to talk about, which is going to come out just before this, or just after this episode goes up. You've already seen the first 40 minutes of...
I've seen the first 40 minutes of Logan.
Oh, man.
I don't... Have the two of you seen the two previous Wolverine movies?
Yes.
Or should I say the two previous shitty Wolverine movies?
I've seen everything with Wolverine.
Wolverine movie I've seen has been shitty.
Every time I've tried... And this is the thing with both of us in Wolverine, is every time... I'm hopeful that this is going to be the one where they do a Wolverine movie right. And every time I am so disappointed.
Well... I can say this about the first 40, and it's only the first 40 minutes, but it's the first act, which means the movie could lose it.
Sure. Yeah.
There's no question.
Plenty of time to tank.
But the first 40 minutes of Logan are aces.
Awesome.
That's Jeremy Stomberg said, the first 40 minutes of Logan are the best 40 minutes of any X-Men movie.
I think he said it was the best X-Men movie he ever saw.
Yeah, that's what it was. Just those first 40 minutes. Best X-Men movie ever.
Well, and speaking as somebody who hasn't seen X-Men Apocalypse, I don't feel that I'm 100% expert on this, but I still feel...
It's so bad we fell asleep, Tim.
I still...
Yeah, both of us, not just me.
So given that, I feel reasonably confident saying that it has a strong possibility of being the best X-Men film.
I'm very excited.
It's very loosely based on Mark Miller's Old Man Logan comic. Where Wolverine has the villains have taken over, and it's kind of a post-apocalyptic setting. And Logan lives on a farm with his family and
it's
his
like
wife.
50 years after continuity,
and his children, and all the heroes are dead. And his family he's forced back into. You know, every time I quit, they pull me back in.
John Wick.
He hasn't popped his claws in a generation or whatever. Yeah. So there's a lot they're going to change, obviously. They can't have, like, Hawkeye and the Spider Car and all that nonsense.
The Hulks.
Red Skull, the Hulks, yeah. But I think they can do a good movie. Clearly, Laura, X-23, the Wolverine clone, she might not be in this movie, but that's her. I mean,
Cool. Tim knows
more than we do.
What I'm saying is speculation.
I don't want to spoil too much. But I just... It was super strong. I think Hugh Jackman just kills it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that what they're doing with Professor X in this movie is strong. And there's some action that just kills. So
exciting.
It is a movie that I think is going to be worth seeing. And I'm excited about it.
I've seen some pictures online of people posting how Hugh Jackman looks as Wolverine in all of the all of the movies he's been Wolverine in, just chronologically for the actor and then chronologically for the character, just showing how he's aged in the role of. I mean, it's been like 8 movies or something now, right?
Yeah.
So and just like it's very interesting to see how he and the costumes have changed.
That's cool.
Throughout the implementations.
I'm excited.
So after that, March 10th is Kong Skull Island.
I'm not super excited for that because King Kong's never really been my bag, but it does look really gorgeous. Like all the trailers I've seen for it look crazy. Like it looks like it's going to be a very beautiful movie.
Yeah,
we have a lot of friends that are super into monster movies.
It's true,
and are way more knowledgeable.
Ready to Show Melissa Carisher.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt Kesson.
Yep. Kelvin Hatley.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of cheesy old Japanese monster movies, you know, Godzilla and stuff. But I get, from what I've taken from the trailer, it's 1950s or 60s-ish.
It looks...
Because they mentioned
Bikini at the same event that I saw Logan, I saw a couple of scenes from Skull Island. One of the scenes was set in World War II.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Near the end of World War II. Another scene appeared to be set in the 60s Vietnam era.
Interesting.
Okay.
You know, and they, at least there were characters in choppers that looked from that era.
Could it have been Korea?
Could have been.
Okay. Somebody in the 50s?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Just looking at the technology that they had and stuff, I'm gonna speculate that it's a little closer to Vietnam era. But
interesting.
There is it takes you back to Skull Island, which I think is cool. And there is a giant ape. And we know there's a giant ape.
This is a sequel to the last Kong movie? Or is this a new thing?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Story-wise, I mean, the scenes were... They were sizzle.
Because they did sizzle scenes. They did a Kong movie, a King Kong movie, fairly, like in the last 5 years, 7 years?
Jackson's Kong was...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the one I've
been
here.
How was it, like 2007?
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, it might have been.
All right. So it's been 10 years.
So
we're due.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm all for giant monsters. I think giant monsters are cool. This looks to be, I would think, it's going to be a turn off your brain kind of movie.
Oh, Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And it's probably going to involve a lot of faceless characters getting killed by a giant ape.
Yeah.
Until the three characters you care about are left alive.
Man versus nature.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Where nature is a giant
monster. Ape. Man is the real monster.
Yeah.
We were the monsters, Tim. We were the monsters.
Oh my God. Beauty killed the beast.
Time. Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, that is.
Well done.
On March 17th.
It's true. It's the next one.
The next week is the Disney's live action remake of the Beauty and the Beast movie with Emma Watson as Belle.
I'm excited.
And some hunky, weird, forward, or less aggressive, horned, handsome-faced Twilight Beast as Beast.
Yeah, they got rid of his beast tusks, and they flattened out his horns so he doesn't look so scary.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't... So he looks more romantic. He's got, like, a stupid kissy mouth and, like...
And he's not like those evil beasts because he shines in the dark.
Yeah.
He doesn't look nearly as beasty.
It's like they had to make it... It's like they decided they had to make it, more romantic. So that it wasn't like she falls in love with, which is super ironic because the whole point of the fable is she falls in love with him despite his appearance.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they change his appearance to make it be more likely she'd fall in love with him is very funny.
Are either of you familiar with the term bishi? Or I think it's from Bishonen?
No.
It's like a manga genre or category that I think it translates to beautiful boys or more like beautiful men.
Yeah.
And so whenever you see, like, an anime character who is male, who is drawn, like...
super beautiful.
Beautiful, maybe feminine, but not necessarily feminine, yeah. but, like, beautiful. I don't know how to other to describe it. And that has its own, like, genre. Sometimes it's romantic, sometimes it's not. But I feel like it's a beastie beast. It's
beastie.
Well, but... Yeah. And I agree, and at the same time, I kind of go, all right, if you've ever seen... Belle et la Bête, which is the French Beauty and the Beast film from the 1930s. Mm-hmm. The Beast in that one is really kind of pretty. And the honestly, I don't think the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, the animated, is that ugly.
No, that's why I don't understand why they made him look different.
Yeah.
That's what confuses me. But if they're doing like a shot-for-shot remake, I mean, like, they put together like the trailers together. Yeah. And they almost look shot-for-shot exactly. Like, it's beautiful. Like, so, like, why? Be the
same
the
shot, but they're showing the same thing.
Yeah, so like, why change the beast?
It could be, and I'm making excuses now. It could be that the makeup is such that if they put that much of a dental prosthetic in, he wouldn't have been able to talk.
That's true. That's entirely true.
I mean, the actor might. There might be something in the contract about his face being recognizable because that's an actor's brand.
That could be. Or whatever.
I don't think Disney would give a flying.
No, that's why sometimes they don't.
Disney would just cast. They would cast some unknown dude and be like, "No, we get to make you look like whatever we want you to look like, buddy."
Are you gonna see this one with your family, Tim?
I am gonna see it. I like Beauty and the Beast, the original Beauty and the Beast. I don't know where I'm at with these Disney live action remakes.
Is next Lion King? Is that what I heard, or is it a remake?
I don't know.
With Donald Glover as Simba.
It just got
announced like yesterday.
That's okay. Then I haven't seen it, but I mean, some of them have been good, but I don't know that any of them are an improvement over the animated. I mean, if you're doing a live action remake of Beauty and the Beast, which got nominated for a fucking Oscar. It was that good. How does a live action, basically shot for shot remake, really add anything to that movie?
It's just nostalgia.
I'm excited to see if they do add anything. You know, if seeing that kind of choreography. Yeah.
The live action Cinderella at least gave Cinderella some agency that she does not have in the original film at all.
But Belle is, I mean, she's a... independent woman who is very clever and her father is kind of a neat character, even though very minor. I'm really super looking forward to Gaston because I think he's like the funniest part of...
Well, and because no one fights like Gaston.
Right.
No one bites like Gaston.
Yeah. It's true. No one adapts to live action like Gaston.
It's true,
He uses his antlers in all of his decorating.
Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's not a movie release, but that same day as the live action Beauty and the Beast, the Netflix Immortal Iron Fist series drops.
St. Patrick's Day.
On St. Patrick's Day. And that's the actor that plays Loras.
Yes.
Whose name I can't remember.
I don't know his
name. In Game of Thrones is the perfect, like, blonde Danny Rand, which some folks wish he would have been cast as an Asian. I would have been totally fine with that. They didn't, and I don't care.
I don't know Iron Fist that well. So, I mean, is the original Iron Fist, is he Asian?
No, he's a blonde white dude. He's perfect. Danny Rand that they cast is exactly what he looks
like. There's a lot of overlap to, like, Stephen Strange's backstory. And so they could easily fall into the same, like, kind of racist tropes where Danny Rand's father is obsessed with this... like Shangri-La type magical city that is somewhere in Asia, like and he has been there and you can't come back because of the magic of the place.
Yeah,
and so he tries to go back. He brings Danny and his mom. His father ends up freezing to death or getting eaten by wolves or something. And because Danny hasn't been there before, he's able to go into the city or they save him and bring him there. And he gets raised in this immortal city of Kunlun where they teach, they raise people to be immortal weapons, which are, there's five immortal weapons and they're like the champions of their city and they embody some sort of magical chi power to fight in, decide fates of the world and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's very much like a white Christ, cultural appropriating white guy who shows up and ends up being the best at kung fu. And you know, I get that that's not necessarily the greatest idea, and maybe casting him as an Asian would have been better in some ways.
He could have been a rich American Asian guy. At the same time, he still would have been a spoiled rich American Asian dude.
Yeah, we're going to talk about cultural appropriation a little bit later. But I mean, at the same time, it does feel like that's the comic that, you know, and I got to say,
they're following the comic, and there's something wrong with following the comic.
And they can do it in a way that's respectful, I feel like. They can do it in a way that it all depends on how it's executed, like anything else.
Oh, yeah.
The idea itself isn't necessarily racist. It's how
we haven't done an episode on Luke Cage yet, and that's partially my fault because I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah, we will, though.
They're really doing a good, solid job.
So Luke Cage and Iron Fist are like super bros.
Yeah.
They are best friends in the comics. Yeah. They are inseparable. They always have each other's back. They end up becoming like double date power couples later on with their lady friends, who I don't want to talk about in case it spoils anything for Netflix.
Or in case they change it in the MCU from the comics.
Yeah. But do we know if Luke Cage is going to be in the Iron Fist?
I don't know if he's going to be in the show.
If not in Iron Fist, following Iron Fist is Defenders.
Well, I know Defenders is coming.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know Colleen Wing is in it, and Wing kicks a lot of fucking ass. She's a hero for hire in the comics, which is what Luke Cage's kind of almost mercenary-ish, you know, hero detective agency type thing that runs in his neighborhood. So we'll talk more about Iron Fist, no doubt. We'll binge it and watch it.
Yeah.
But that's on the 17th. And then right after that is the Power Rangers live-action movie.
Yeah, okay. So
with Bryan Cranston as Zordon.
I am not a Power Rangers guy. Yeah.
I never watched the Power Rangers either. I think I'm just at the cusp of... And Nick, did you watch it?
I did.
Your brother was really into it.
My brother was super into it. And I was into it because I was watching anime and I realized that Power Rangers was super senpai.
Yeah. So I was never really into it, even though I did like Ultraman. And I was really into the... Like, I really loved Voltron when I was a kid. So I liked the idea of it. It was just not... I was already a teenager. And so what I know about Power Rangers is all pop culture gleanings from jokes and stuff.
One of the best things about Power Rangers is that... So they took all the Japanese footage of them in costumes, you know, nodding very... Like, assertively and with great emotion and pointing and talking. And all the monster fights and all of that is from the Japanese cartoon or show. And all the parts where they are out of costume are actually the only things that they shot here. For the American Power Rangers show. Uh-huh. Everything else is, like, originally... is dubbed over. The villains, the them in costume, it's never the American actors in those costumes.
That's super funny.
For the original Power Rangers, at least. And so it's this weird, kind of like Macross or Robotech had weird translation stuff early on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
When we were at John Wick 2, we took my brother Riley, and we were sitting in the theater, and Riley laughs louder than me. Riley laughs like if Matt, Alex, and I were put together, like that's how loud. And the Power Rangers thing starts, and he just starts laughing. Like he just thinks their suits are so shiny and funny. And I asked him later, I'm like, you think it looks dumb? He's like, no, I think it looks fine. I just, something about the suits, like they just ridiculous. Look super fancy. And like,
It's over the top. That's the genre.
Yeah, they're in like these super shiny, chrome-ish metal suits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Because I'm not a fan of the series. I don't know it that well.
Yeah.
You know, the trailers don't look
bad.
They don't make me go, fuck, this is going to be a piece of shit.
Right.
Right.
But I get a Transformers vibe from
it. Not like the Gem trailer where you're like, this movie's going this to absolutely be.
Why even do a Gems movie?
Yeah.
So Bryan Cranston plays Zordon, that's it.
Who's Zordon?
He is the giant disembodied floating head that is kind of the benefactor of the Power Rangers power.
Okay.
He is some sort of sworn defender, blah blah blah, magic space, blah blah blah, high tech. He has a little wisecracking robot sidekick who says, ay, 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 and it's super annoying. Mm-hmm. He's like the Jar Jar of the show. And the premise is, I need 5 teenagers with attitudes to protect the world from Rita Repulsa, who's woken from her 1,000 years rest to try to take over the world. That's it. Okay. Like, that's the whole premise.
That would appear to be the premise of the film, based on the trailer that I saw.
He empowers these 5 kids. They come to him. He gives them flying all robot animals that team up to beat giant gold monster guy, Goldar. And Rita Repulsa is Charlize Theron.
I think so. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Power Rangers is super dumb funny.
Well,
the show. So I'm kind of, I'll not watch it in the theater, but I'll watch it.
Yeah.
What's up after that?
Ghost in the Shell is March 31st.
Oh, speaking of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that's all I really have to say about that is I can't believe they cast a white girl. And beyond that, I'm just like, it makes me not want to see it.
I like Scarlett Johansson. I think she does well. She's good, a good action heroine. But why make that choice?
I've read the first two books of the Ghost in the Shell manga, and I saw the movie pretty early on. One of the first, back with Akira. It's a classic.
Same.
It's such a visual treat.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
That, I want to see Ghost in the Shell just because it's going to be fucking gorgeous.
Well, of course.
And I don't care about anything else about it. But also, I'm not going to see it in the movie theaters because I don't want to financially support.
Yeah, it was a real big mistake of theirs.
It was just such a...
It was such a dumb mistake.
Yeah.
It's a huge fumble. They were like, well, let's put Scarlett Johansson in it because she's going to sell movie tickets. And she may. I mean, the biggest problem with this is the three of us can sit here in this room and the Asian American community can say, what the fuck are you doing? Why aren't you casting an Asian actress in this role? And I don't think it's going to make a whole big dent in how well the movie does. Well, either the movie will do well because people want to see it.
But if it underperforms, they might chalk it up to the fact that they got bad press. If it underperforms from where they expected it, that might make them say oh, well, people didn't,
The rest of the cast looks
so crazy cool.
Most of the characters look quite a bit like their animated counterparts.
Yeah.
With one or two exceptions.
The trailer makes it look beautiful. That's no question.
Yeah. The trailer has one or two super iconic scenes from the original movie and from Standalone Complex, which is kind of weird time-wise for a movie setting. So clearly it seems like they picked a bunch of different cool things that they'd want to do in a movie that have happened in Ghost in the Shell. And they may have kind of made their own plot. They might be loosely based off one or two things from either the original or SAC, Standalone Complex. And they may have kind of cobbled together their own plot. It's God damn it. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty, though.
After that, May 5th, the next Friday, is... Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
All right!
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going
to
be so good.
So we're guaranteed to have one super great playlist. Book? No, what's the...
The soundtrack. That's the word I meant to say. Yeah, the soundtrack will be good no matter what. You know that.
Yeah, right?
You can't ever know for sure, but knowing that it's basically the same folks that did the first one. Mm. Knowing that Marvel has not... I mean, you still talk about the worst of the Marvel Cinematic Universe being Iron Man 2.
Right?
That's
a medium bar.
And Iron Man 2 is not bad. Yeah.
No, it's really not.
With all the problems with Ant-Man and how far Edgar Wright got on it before they switched directors and rewrites and stuff that happened.
Yeah, Ant-Man was
Ant-Man's amazing. Great.
And, well, they had to switch writers on Strange, obviously, to friend of the show, C. Robert Cargill. And they had issues with that movie. And it seems like when they're making those changes, they're doing it to produce a better product.
Yeah.
So you got to feel pretty confident that Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a good film.
So as Cargill mentioned when we talked to him about Strange, Disney Marvel is a big fan of doing tests, test audience, gauge a response, then go reshoots based on their response. So a week or two ago, before recording this, an early cut of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 went to a test audience and got a incredibly rare, pretty much unseen, 100% audience response rating.
All right.
On a fairly early cut.
That's exciting.
So that's very promising. Especially knowing that they kind of build that into their process.
Yeah, I think for the early part of the year, Logan obviously just because I want to see where it goes from what I've already seen, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 are kind of my 1-2.
Yep.
So this is a quick one. Guy Ritchie's doing a King Arthur movie that comes out on May 12th.
All right. Yeah, Guy Ritchie's King Arthur movie.
The blonde, dirty protagonist from...
It's Charlie Hummer, yeah.
Yeah, from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Arthur, I guess.
Yep, he's Arthur. And then it's focusing on his, like... It's focusing on basically, like, from when he pulls the sword to, like, coming up and having to learn how to be a knight and all that
Guy stuff. Guy Ritchie's a knight's tale.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah,
you know, I don't know. Guy Ritchie, when he does, he's hit or miss for me.
Sure.
But I like his style. I do.
Yeah. I'll rent that later. Yeah. I'll rent that sometime.
May 19th is the crossover finally happening, next step between the Alien series and the Prometheus series. They come together for Alien Covenant, where it all kind of cements. And this is essentially Prometheus 2 or Prometheus 1.5.
If you, dear listeners, have listened to episode 1, you would know what we think of Prometheus.
Here's my favorite thing I saw about Alien Covenant is the sum up from Game Informer.
Yeah.
Things aren't as they seem in the latest installment of the Alien franchise. The crew stumbles upon what they think is a paradise in the far reaches of the galaxy. But since this is an Alien film, we doubt it will pan out to be that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably not a paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it could be terrible and it could be great and it could be somewhere in between. Fassbender's in it. He was great. He was the best part of Prometheus.
I'm going to lean towards terrible.
Yeah, probably
I'm
terrible,
also going to guess terrible.
Also have to say, you know, we didn't touch on this, but there's a movie called Life that's coming out in May. And I don't know if you saw the trailer before John Wick. I did.
Maybe we did.
And it's basically like set in space, and they find in the space station.
Yeah.
It's in the International Space Station, I think, and they discover like life and
the astronaut's wife or whatever.
It looks a lot to me like Alien.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah,
so
or The Thing for that matter.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's absolutely a little bit of Alien, because
the
thing
in space is Alien.
Yeah,
kind of. And then the last movie we're going to talk about is, they're making another fucking Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Was this 5, 6?
23?
Dead Men Tell No Tales. They're running out of jaunty pirate sayings for movies.
Well, here's the thing, and this bugs me. Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World and Disneyland, before they redid it to put more Jack Sparrow in it, which isn't awful. But anyway, as you're going into the ride, there's just this skull on the wall with these glowing eyes, and
like
as you're
this, like the movie,
and as you're going under, it's like Dead Men Tell No Tales, and then you go into this really spooky thing with like a ghost skeleton dude steering a ship. And as a kid, that freaked my shit out.
I bet.
And I mean, the rest of the ride is not scary. I remember that.
Yeah, that tolling, that like there was like a church bell tolling behind it too. Like, oh,
so
creepy. I remember that.
Taking that saying, that memory of that really creepy moment that was originally on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and making that the title of the movie, and then watching the trailer, I'm
the
like,
trailer is just,
this is not that moment.
No,
I was saying, like, pretty soon they're gonna be so stretched for Pirates of the Caribbean mythos based on the ride that it's gonna be like, Engineer Bob Imagineer number 279 died on track part number 87.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie.
What's sad about it is this movie feels to me like they're trying to do like some, I don't know. I hate when people say that, just for cash grab, clearly a cash grab. But there's not any.
That's what movies are.
I know, but not as much as this particular thing is.
Yeah.
Where it feels like
it's a lamp monster.
It's like, can't you just think of anything better to do with Johnny Depp's time? I'm like, I just, ugh.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're making money off of it. But I mean, the problem with the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is that first one was really surprisingly
good
and entertaining.
Sure.
It was really good.
And they've been trying to capture lightning in a bottle ever since.
Which is never good.
It's just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So that's kind
of
the
first
quarter-ish of 2017.
Yeah, it goes through till June.
Through June,
first 5 months.
Through May,
yeah.
Of some nerdy movies to look out for. We'll talk more. We're definitely going to do an episode about Iron Fist eventually. No doubt we'll binge it or whatever.
P.S. I got to say, I've seen Lego Batman, and it is unquestionably the best DC movie since The Dark Knight.
You know how we do like a scale, order of preference for Star Wars movies?
Sure.
Where does it fall on your Batman movie spectrum?
Ooh, on Batman movie spectrum, I would probably rank it... I would rank it behind Dark Knight, but ahead of all the Burton movies. It's really entertaining.
Interesting. Ahead of all the Burton movies, the first
really,
one?
It's really all right. entertaining all right. And clever. And the Lego movie did a lot of things we didn't expect, and Lego Batman is much in the same vein of doing things that you didn't expect.
With Michael Cera is the Robin, right? So it's like an Arrested Development fan fiction.
I'll watch that.
And Zach Galifianakis? Him. He's the Joker.
Blackafinakis.
Yeah.
That's a different guy.
Anyway. And he does a good Joker.
Oh, cool. That's exciting. If there's a movie you're looking out for or nervous about or want to talk about, leave a comment. Send us a message, whatever. We're going to go to five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, this is the third of the last five questions we have, right?
We have three left, and this is one of them.
Jeez. It's the penultimate.
It's the penultimate.
Who are these from?
These are from Ruby Palmer in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Yay, Canada. We're going to move there now.
All right.
Question number one. What is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Wacko's Wish. I loved Animaniacs the first time I saw it, and my husband and I have never outgrown them. And yes, I sing shamelessly through the whole movie. It makes me happy.
Animaniacs is awesome.
It is.
Like, for my birthday, like, 3 years ago, we went to Animaniacs burlesque show that was in town from New York.
It was so great.
It was some of the most fun I've ever had on my birthday. It was very funny. I love the Animaniacs. Question two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I was a Harley Quinn nerd long before she was cool. But now that everyone knows who she is, there are starting to be some great merch options put out there. My most prized and geeky possession is a pair of Harley Quinn vinyl vixens. They were bought separately, but I displayed them together, and I love them so much. One is the classic Harley, and the other is the bombshell Harley. They are on a shelf that I see when I look up from reading or playing a game in bed with my morning coffee, and every time I see them, I can't help but smile. They are so gorgeous. You seriously have to see them, so I've attached a picture.
The DC bombshell originally pictures, and now, like, they've done a lot of different vinyl figures and dolls and stuff of them.
They're really creative and
distinct.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like the style.
They're kind of the pinup girl style.
Yeah. Like you'd expect them to see them on the side of a bomber.
Yeah.
Question number three. What fictional or supernatural being do you wish was real or all-powerful being?
Gaia. I feel like if our Earth had a voice, she might be able to get through to the climate change deniers and save our planet.
Yeah, that's the reason that I don't think that Gaia is real, because by now Gaia would be laying some smack down.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Earth is just really, really slow to move. It'll kill us all eventually.
Yeah.
Question four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Tribalism, racism, and greed. I know that's three, but I see them as equally troublesome.
Yeah, they are all equally troublesome. I just don't know what to say beyond that.
Yeah.
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
I'd take the awe of understanding over the awe of ignorance any day. Douglas Adams.
Mm.
That sounds like Douglas Adams.
Yep.
And I'll take the awe of seeing kittens somewhere
in
between.
Thanks, Ruby.
Yeah, thank you, Ruby.
If you want to send us your five answers, send them to 5questions@geeksthoughtgod.com, and they'll be in the queue that is rapidly dwindling and running out. So easy to jump on that. We've been seeing pictures people have been posting of their stickers and buttons that we sent out for Patreon supporters at that level.
Stickers are awesome. They're rainbow stickers to remind you that we are an inclusive podcast.
Intersectionality for the win.
That's right. Yeah. If it's not intersectional, it's not pointful.
Yeah.
That's another way of saying it's pointless. it's not pointful. I hope you enjoyed the buttons and stickers. Post a picture of them. Just, you know, if you have them on like a jacket or a bag or a hat or your sticker on your car, like, we'd love to see a picture. Tag us in it if you want.
We are so fucking close to $50. We're so close to goal number one.
We're starting to make plans about our $50 goal doing special episodes. We've talked about that a little.
We gotta get there first.
If you have any ideas, like what is a special episode you'd like us to do?
Mm-hmm. If you have a field trip idea, it would be
exclusive for Patreon supporters. True.
That's right. So you might want to consider supporting us. You could be the one that puts us over that $1 margin into $50.
Yeah,
that
it's we only need. $1.
And then you'll get to listen to those special podcasts we do twice a year, special event or special recording podcasts. Otherwise. Thank you so much for listening, and if you're a supporter, double thank you for supporting us. We have been Geeks Without God, recording in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and otherwise, we'll see y'all in a week.
Bye!
Bye!
Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
I'll probably try and be there ahead of time because I'm like the director.